Everything starts with the leaf. I'm talking to a new prospective client, and I will say to them, look, in terms of fulfillment, then hopefully the business can do that, because, you know, if you build a business and you don't have a fulfillment strategy, then go and get a job. You should be owning a business. And then I say to them, look, what do you think is the most important thing, the lead or the conversion? Well, of course, the conversion is important, but I think the most important thing, of course, is the top of the funnel, which is the leads, because they've made it easy for businesses of any size to put leads into a funnel and then hopefully pop out a sale at the other end.
We are diving into an episode that is going to inspire you with tales of growth and scaling from one of our guests. Today's guest is going to be special because we hand select people who are actively building and growing their businesses, people who know what it feels like to be in your position. As a listener of this podcast, trying to figure out what your next growth steps are, and they're going to share with us those insights, that journey, and what they're doing right now to position themselves in a better place for growth and scaling. So check it out if you haven't done so already, and subscribe to our channel. We are bringing some awesome business leaders into your circle, into your headphones, into your computer monitor today to show you what you can be doing to grow and scale your business. Share the love, subscribe to the channel, and at the end of this episode, see what you should be doing next to grow and scale your business. Hey, welcome back to the show. And today we're reaching all the way across the world to a man named John Dwyer, and he's going to walk us through, who are you and what do you do, John?
Who are you and what do you do? I've been asked that by many police officers. I've received that question. Yeah, look, thank you, Todd, for having me on your podcast. My business is called the Institute of Wow.com. And as that name implies, you know, Institute of Wow, we help businesses create wow factors to sell more stuff. Simple as that. We're a direct response marketing agency, which is very different from, I guess, a typical marketing agency. And the best way I describe it is a typical ad agency will tell you, look, we're going to help you to get people to fall in love with your brand so that they'll actually taste your product. We flip that. We get them to taste your product so they'll fall in love with your brand.
I love that. That's the best definition of direct marketing I've ever heard.
Well, no, I'm on a high anyway. So thank you. You're going to get any more pieces of gold out of me, I'm afraid.
I've done direct marketing extensively, and I've never been able to explain it so succinctly. That's amazing. So walk us through that. What does that actually mean? And how are you getting consumers to buy product before they've heard of the brand?
Yeah, look, and you know, don't get me wrong. You know, we buy Kellogg's because it's Kellogg's and Toyota because it's Toyota and so forth. Brand building, of course, is absolutely important. But branding becomes irrelevant if you're not selling anything. And so therefore, over the years, I've had the McDonald's and KFCs and 7-Elevens knock on my door because they've got a fantastic brand, but they might have a 23-year-old marketing manager who is sponsoring the local basketball teams and throwing money up. And so probably the best example of that is, you know, what we're doing at the moment for a whole bunch of companies. We call it the contest leads machine. And what we do is that we say to the business, okay, well, if you're a solar company, for example, why don't you give away a solar package on a social media contest? And what happens there is that essentially the entrants to that contest obviously want a solar package. And so therefore we will get thousands of leads for them in the space of a month. Right. And of course, what happens, they give one of those prizes away, but you know, 99.9% of all of the other entrants have just raised their hands, they've glowed in the dark and said, I want the solar package. So we deliver to them not leads, but warm, if not red hot leads. And the best example of that is a dentist. There's a dental company here in Australia, reasonably big dental company because they are in the prestigious suburbs around Australia, and they want to sell more Invisalign braces to children. And so their target audience are rich parents. And so we ran a contest throughout Australia in the rich, you know, sort of areas. So we're talking to the Beverly Hills sort of suburbs. And we said, look, how would you like to win invisible braces for your child? Now, the only parents who will enter that contest have got children with crooked teeth. We're talking crazy numbers. We're talking $20 a day on Facebook for each one of these dental practices and 1,000 leads a week. 1,000 leads a week. Yeah, for $20 a day. And what happens is that at the end of that contest, they phoned the people who contacted. I mean, one particular dentist had 1,200 entries in 1 week. He has his girl ring them the next week and say, look, you didn't win, but we've got some good news for you. We've got a special deal on the Invisalign braces at the moment. And of course, if you get in by Friday, we will give you a free vacation. So we have the same Yeah, we have an association with a vacation company that provides us with 3-night vacations for virtually nothing. We include that in the package, so we provide them with a leads gen and conversion tool at the same time. So they're pretty happy campers.
I love it. I've actually been involved in some of those vacation giveaway promos, and what you're doing is a fantastic service for many people. But I will tell you, and you're going to tell us too, what is the challenge of overwhelming a company with leads if they're not ready for the leads?
Great question. Of course, the clients who I hate are the ones that go, John, that's too successful. We've got too many leads. And I go, oh, look, I say, you've just won the Idiot of the Year award. You know what I mean?
Seriously. Figure it out.
Yeah, exactly. And of course, you and I, because we're entrepreneurs, if we're in a corner like that, we will find a way. Whereas if you get some people go, oh, I'm drowning in leads. And we go, oh, what's the best way to go? So what we do is that we just send in the AI robot. Therefore, you know, we have AI receptionists, of course, like most people these days. So therefore, right. if they get 1,000 leads a week, then we just send in the robot. And as it turned out, I'll give you an example. In the dentist's instance, they were selling a $5,000 to $7,000 Invisalign braces. Right. And when they would ring a couple of hundred and then basically wanted to jump off the cliff because they couldn't get through anymore, they had a 9% close rate. We sent the robot in, had a 16% close rate.
No way. What? That is awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. That's an interesting story, because I come from the age of BPO outsourced call centers, and I used to provide solutions where I could say, hey, you've only got 2 people in the office taking calls. I can give you another 10. And that was a really cool thing.
Yep.
But now with the AI robots, you're able to basically take infinite calls. Is that right?
Well, it is. Yeah. I mean, for real estate agents, just so you know that I've been around a while anyway, there's a few wrinkles near the eyes here, but when you do the seminar circuit, like I've had to do over the last 10 years, I've come from corporate and moved into smaller businesses. And as it turns out, they tell me you've got to write a book, of course. And so I had to write a damn book. And this book is called if someone's listening to this and they're not watching it, then the book's name is The Avalanche Leads Formula. What happens is that, you know, Rupert Murdoch's newspapers would come to us and say, look, we want avalanche leads. And the best way to get avalanche leads or avalanche purchases in the newspaper game was to do scratch bingos. And so therefore we'll do a scratch bingo game, and you had to buy the paper every day to get the numbers to scratch out. So of course his circulation would go up, and it was convenient that we would run these promotions around about the time that they were negotiating with advertising agencies for the next year. So therefore the circulation went up, and so did the ad prices, of course, you know.
Right.
But yeah, if people can't, I mean, AI these days, we're real estate agents. They're all after doing appraisals for homes in their farm area, because if they give someone a valuation, there's a good chance that people will fall off their chair and go, wow, I didn't realize I was sitting on $1.8 million. I think I might sell the house, right? And of course, you would know, Todd, basically they would put a picture of their ugly face on a little brochure, and they'd put that in the letterbox, and it would say, we've got buyers in the area. Would you like us to come in and provide you with a valuation of your home? That's basically, that was the limit of a real estate agent's, you know, sort of marketing skills. And so now we can ring 10,000 homes. We have a Thai scraping company that gets the valuation of the homes anywhere in the world. And we will ring 10,000 homes in an hour and tell them the valuation of their home. So the robot will say, hi, Mrs. Smith, can I just confirm that you're living at 40 Jones Street, Smithville? And she says, yes. And we're just doing a research study at the moment to find out how many people actually know what they're sitting on. Do you understand how much you're sitting on? Of course, the answer is no. So, well, look, we have a valuation for your home, and this is the middle ground valuation. It's not the highest, not the low. And you're sitting on 1.8 million at the moment. Well, she falls off the chair, of course. And then the robot says to her, would you like us to provide you with a written confirmation of that? Because the local real estate agent that we have a relationship with would be happy to call in, blah, blah, blah. And then we just sell that lead to the real estate agent. Simple as that.
The beautiful lead.
Yeah.
The beautiful lead. You know, honestly, John, there's, I would say 95% of the world does not understand lead gen, lead flow, the life of a lead. And why do I keep showing up on people's call center lists, right? Mm. And could you walk us through that a little bit? Because I think it would add some value to the marketers, the ones that are getting called by the marketers, and everyone involved in a lead's journey. It's an interesting game to explore.
Well, it is. And, you know, the thing is, everything starts with the lead. If I'm talking to a new prospective client, And I will say to them, look, in terms of fulfillment, then hopefully the business can do that. Because, you know, if you built a business and you don't have a fulfillment strategy, then go and get a job. You should be owning a business, you know. And then I say to them, look, what do you think is the most important thing? The, you know, the lead or the conversion? Well, of course, the conversion is important. 1 in 2, 1 in 5, whatever it might be. But I think the most important thing, of course, is the top of the funnel, which is the leads. You know, look, and that's why Russell Brunson and, you know, all of these people with their, you know, ClickFunnels and their various CRM programs, you know, they're laughing all the way to the bank, because they've made it easy for businesses of any size to put leads into a funnel and then hopefully pop out a sale at the other end. And so therefore, I just say to people, look, concentrate on the leads. And in our instance, because of the background of doing all the bingos for Murdoch's newspapers and Monopoly style promotions from McDonald's and so forth, we're pretty good at, you know, using social media to get leads. I mean, back in the day it was letterbox brochures, and it still can be that those days haven't completely ended.
There's still value in that, believe it or not.
Yeah, exactly. But you know, I'm telling you, I mean, this product that we have at the moment, which is just going nuts, we, instead of delivering thousands of leads to people and finding that they couldn't handle them, we've now refined it, so therefore we actually sell them the leads. We found out there's more money in it for us because we know that, you know, we sell the leads for, in some instances, you know, $20 a lead. Now, we take on the risk because, you know, the cost per lead for us, what's it going to be? But we've done this for so many industries. We know the cost per lead for us is going to be probably somewhere under $10, okay? Right. Depends on what day of the week it is and whether Zuckerberg's, you know, algorithms are favoring you that day. As you know, because of your background, you know, you can pay $6 a lead today and that might be $9.50 tomorrow. But yeah, if we provide a real estate agent or a furniture shop or dental practice, like I just mentioned, I mean, I'll give you a classic example. This was a really interesting one. This guy, he had a really walker business. So it's a walking frames for older people, and they're about $800 each. He insulted me by asking, did I want to do a contra? So therefore, I said to him, I hope he died in his sleep that night. But anyway, so we held a win a wheelie walker contest for his medical center. He's doing around about $8 million a year turnover, so he's not a massive business, but you know, for a relatively small business with him and his wife and a couple of other employees, he was doing $8 million. We just basically put, you know, would you like to win a wheelie walker? We targeted obviously the older generation. He got 882 leads in the first week. He's never had 882 strong prospects in like a 6 month period. He looked after chasing them down for the first 100, and then of course he just couldn't do it, so we put the robot onto it. But out of those 882, he ended up having a 19% close rate on an 800. Like, it's just unheard of. I mean, and so when you say to people, just hold a damn contest on Facebook or Instagram, whatever platform you want, give away your product or service as a prize. And that means whoever enters that, if it's a swimming pool slide, they're not living in an apartment.
Right.
So you can flush them out. You flush out whatever.
Unless they're the HOA president. But the truth of the matter is that until I got into the leads business and in the direct to consumer marketing, you know, I didn't understand how leads worked, and I didn't understand that a good lead can be exhausted and someone else is willing to buy it as an age lead. Somebody else can then resell that lead 2 weeks later after they've exhausted it. And so there's a life cycle in a lead flow that can be really, really amazing to watch. But those who are true marketers, I think, find a lot of value in selling that lead once to the customer that actually wants to nurture that lead. And once it's been exhausted, don't resell that lead. Don't be one of those creeps that are just, you know, selling phone numbers and lists that go around and around and around. And for most clients, like you mentioned, a dentist office getting, you know, 1,000 leads in a week, that is overwhelming. Mm. But if you have a plan and a strategy to really kind of refine those leads and nurture them into a client, that's an exciting game to play.
Well, what we did, we worked out that despite the robot being able to ring as many as we want, and we understand because we're in the marketing game, just how powerful that is. We do have some clients, of course, who are perhaps a little old-fashioned, and AI is still pretty new. So they say, no, we don't want robots ringing our people. And when you tell them that, you know, 78% of people think that robot is a human, 22% don't, and they don't care, by the way. They just were happy to be contacted. Much better that way than, you know, press 1 for this and press 2 for that and press 3 for that. So therefore, for those who really don't want a robot phoning the avalanche number of leads, then we've structured this program. And if you don't mind me plugging it, Todd, it's basically...
Oh, please plug it. Yeah, plug away.
It's just called contestleadsmachine.com, contestleadsmachine.com.
Love it.
And all that is that we decided to go down the per lead basis. So we're doing it in America at the moment for the solar industry and for a few others. And what we do, we just provide them with the lead for $19. If we get that lead for 8 or 9 or 10 or 12, depending upon the algorithms that week, well, that's our business. They don't care. But they know up front that they're getting leads for $19. So we just say, well, how many leads do you want? They say, well, 200 leads. Okay, well, give us 200 times $19. And they don't do a thing. All they do is give us their solar package to give away as a prize. They basically just sit back and watch leads pour into the system. And we found that's the best way to do it. So therefore, they don't have to pay for the ads. We know what we need to do to get the leads for $8 or $9 or $12. We sell them for $19 and everyone's happy.
That's how it should work.
Yeah. And, oh, by the way, too, Todd, I said you'd be very familiar with this coming from a background similar to mine. Most of the leads companies, because there's plenty out there, they will provide the lead to the plumber or to the electrician or to the builder or whoever it might be, the solar dealer, but they will give that same lead to two or three other solar dealers. And so therefore, and most of the time they're paying somewhere between $50 and $150 a lead, depending upon what the industry is. So $19 a lead is great. We're going to make it 20, but being a marketer, I thought, no, we'll make it 19. So if you're paying $50 or $60 or $80 a lead, but your two competitors, the other two solar companies in town are getting the same lead, well, that's ridiculous. So in our instance, because they're entering a contest to win your solar package, then you get that lead exclusively. And that's a big, big plus.
That's a huge bonus. And that is, unfortunately, the game that most people play is how many times can I sell this lead before someone recognizes? In addition to that, you know, I think learning leads is important, but understanding your business and what differentiates you is equally important. So I want to know, you know, looking at your business, John, you've been doing this for a couple of years, at least. As you've seen the evolution of your business and the way that you have been able to define your service in such a simplistic way as you have, what are some of the key changes you've had to make over the years that kind of tweaked your model to where you could scale this to where you're at today?
Yeah, good question, because I know, Todd, that, you know, the whole sort of, I guess, model that you have for your podcast is, you know, how to be scalable.
Right.
And I've got to admit, I was an idiot. I was a complete idiot up until probably a dozen years ago.
Right.
The reason why was because I was selling me. I wasn't selling what was between my ears, and that was silly. So therefore, if I had corporates like the 7-Elevens or McDonald's contacted me, I would sit down across the table like we're doing right now. And within a short period of time, they, as in 20 minutes or half an hour, they either fell in love with what I was doing or they thought I was a show off and asked me to leave.
Right.
Most of the time they fell in love with it and said, look, you're on, okay, you do this for McDonald's or do this for, you know, 7-Eleven. And what I found is that when I moved away from the corporate world, where they would pay you reasonable sums of money to, you know, put all these things together, and I went into the smaller business world, so that's the businesses that were doing probably 5 million, 6 million, 10 million, so they're not doing the hundreds of millions, then they are far more difficult to, I guess, get them to value you in half an hour. They just don't come from that world. And so therefore, I realized, of course, is that when I moved into that world too, you're going to have a lot more clients than you would have if you have McDonald's, 7-Eleven, KFC, and perhaps someone else. Yeah, it's because they would pay you lots of money and you could get away with having a dozen clients. But when you move into another world, you've got to have some sort of system where you can handle dozens and dozens of clients. And that's when I woke up to myself and realized I was an idiot because I was selling me instead of what was between my ears.
Right.
And so what we did is that I joined a couple of businesses, a couple of forums in America. There's one that's run by a guy called Joe Polish in Phoenix, Arizona, and it's called the Genius Network. And I think I was the only member that wasn't a genius, but anyway.
I doubt that.
I snuck my way in. And this particular group gets together three times a year in Phoenix, Arizona. So I would go backwards and forwards. And in that group, you've got Anthony Robbins. You've got, you know, Russell Brunson, the ClickFunnels guy. You've got all the cool kids at lunchtime.
Right.
And the beauty of that, my wife was really pleased with it because I think it was 25K and then three trips backwards and forwards. So it was probably 75 to 100K. My wife was really happy about that, of course.
I'm sure.
Yeah, not. But what I found, I was mixing with people who knew how to scale. Okay. Right. And that was really interesting because I, you know, I didn't get to speak to Anthony Rollins, but you got to speak to a lot of the people that were under him. And yeah, that was a really, you know, despite my wife telling me again that I was an idiot, I get told that quite a bit.
Yes, yes. I've heard that too a couple of times.
It's right. It's right. It was really good because they taught you how to scale. And so what we did is that what we put together, and of course that contestleadsmachine.com is an example of it, is that now what we've done is grab what was between my ears and put it into packaged promotional or advertising packages. And we give that, if they want my involvement on top of that, which is the cherry on the cake, that's fine. They pay a few dollars extra. But what we've done is packaged everything up. So they buy promotion one, promotion two, promotion three, promotion four.
Right.
And, you know, I know I'm going to name drop here, but you're probably going to bring Seinfeld up sooner or later. But, you know, a campaign that I did with Jerry Seinfeld for a bank down under. Did I just drop a name there?
Of course I was going to bring that up. Of course.
And we'll go into Pope Leo in just a moment. But anyway, yeah, so that campaign was for a bank down under. They were in a very competitive market. They're up against the Wells Fargo sort of banks in Australia. So therefore, Australia's 250th biggest business, but they're not as big as the Wells Fargo's, you know. And therefore, I said, well, stop marketing on price, because that's what a lot of people do. If they're in a Me Too industry, you should not be marketing on price, because the 40-ton gorilla is going to beat you, okay? And I convinced them, look, give up the 1% honeymoon rate, which every bank does for the first year when they give a loan to a couple to, you know, buy a home. They give them a 1% break on the interest rate for the first year, and then they go, but every bank does it. Like, it's just not unique. And so I said to them, look, why don't you develop a Happy Meal toy? And of course, these are bankers, so they're left brained. And I was the only one that would ever wear a bright tie in the meetings, of course. And they'd go, well, what are you talking about? And I said, well, look, you know, why don't you actually do something different and give away a Happy Meal toy with the home loan? So stop the honeymoon rate, give that to a travel discount company, which I've been doing some TV commercials for, and they'll give you a $10,000 vacation for five. So that's what we did. We came on TV and social media. This is a dozen or so years ago. And we said, get a home loan or swap from the big banks and come across and, you know, swap your home loan and we'll give you a free vacation.
Right.
$15 billion worth of extra loans poured in within the first 3 years. $15 billion.
You got to be kidding me.
Yeah. And to verify why I'm an idiot, I was charging a consultancy fee instead of a percentage of the extra home loan.
Come on, John. Come on.
Yes. Todd, I don't know why you have me on here. I cannot spell like... I cannot spell IQ, all right? So, look, it was a handsome, you know, monthly retainer.
Right,
but, yeah,
if
I had have gone down the percentage path, I would have bought Hawaii. And
we all did the same thing, John. It's okay.
Stupid. Anyway, yeah, and as it turned out, it went crazy. And about 3 years in, they said to me, look, we've picked up all the low-lying fruit. What are we going to do here? And I said, leave it with me. So I thought, why don't we actually have a celebrity-led campaign? And I won't bore you with details, but I annoyed George Shapiro, who happened to be the manager of Jerry Seinfeld. And I didn't pick, I'd never watched Seinfeld's show. I mean, I know he's very clever.
Oh, come on.
No, I'm crazy, but I'd watched Gilligan's Island and the Brady Bunch and everything else. But
of course you did. Yeah.
And so anyway, as it turned out, we chased him and chased him. He's harder to get to than the Pope. And we eventually got there. And he didn't do it for the money because obviously he's got more money than God.
Right.
But he thought there was quite an interesting campaign. So he just, I'd fly back as a force to New York. And for 3 years, Jerry Seinfeld was on TV in Australia and, you know, social media saying, swap your home loan from the big banks, come across to the greater and you get a free vacation. That $15 billion tripled again. Okay.
Wow. You tripled that.
Yep.
Oh, my gosh.
You put Jerry Seinfeld with a free Happy Meal toy, shut the gate. It's all over.
Wow.
And so, therefore, what happened as a result of that, I had a travel company contact me about 6 months before COVID. And they said, John, look, we've got access to unsold hotel rooms throughout America and around the world. We're not marketers. We've seen what you've done with the Seinfeld thing and a free vacation. How would you like to join forces and actually offer that same package, if you can design one, to small businesses?
Wow.
And I said, hallelujah. So that's how this vacation thing came about. What we do is that we get access to unsold hotel rooms in Vegas and Orlando and New York and San Diego and Grand Canyon all around America. And basically, we sell them to businesses for less than $50 and it's worth $1,000 voucher. So therefore, they say, look, come in and buy my lounge suite or use my lawn mowing services or do whatever they sell and we'll give you a free vacation. And the reason it works is because the cost of goods is low. It's exactly like the Happy Meal toy. The Happy Meal toy costs 20 cents. It's worth $5, okay, in Kmart.
Right.
This they buy for $50, but it's worth $1,000. So therefore, when they say buy my XYZ, whatever the product is, they're giving away a Happy Meal toy that's worth $1,000 but costs them $50.
I love it. And people will do that. And you know, it's interesting. You went and contracted with the horse, right? I have been a byproduct of someone else's marketing before as well. And it works. You know, we were in the health and nutra space, and we were selling weight loss pills. And wouldn't you know it, we were 6 months into the business, and Doc happened to mention the key ingredient in our product, because he likely had his own marketing thing going on. But he mentions that this is the miracle weight loss pill. And we went from $10,000 a day in sales to almost $980,000 in sales in 6 months. And it was the most incredible growth I've ever seen in my life. Amazing. But the leverage that you can receive from a big talking head like that is phenomenal. And obviously you were the direct recipient of that talking head. But walk us through this. I mean, that was obviously a big impact on the growth of your agency and your face and your recognizability and being able to attract that type of offer. But how did you take that first experience with Seinfeld and convert that into this next offer and the next one after that? What are you doing now from that?
I have unashamedly milked the daylights out of Jerry Seinfeld for the last 12 years.
That's okay. That's okay. Yeah. Keep milking.
Yeah, exactly. A few of my buddies who are just as sarcastic as me, they own businesses that are concreters, or they might be a plumbing company or so forth.
Right,
so
very
different from advertising. And they will see my Facebook posts and ads and so forth. They go, oh, for God's sake, how long are you going to milk that damn Seinfeld thing?
And it works.
I say forever. And the funny part about it, Todd, it was 3 years going backwards and forwards to New York, and I go over, normally it would be the July, August period, and we'd shoot the TV commercial. He lives in the Hamptons, of course, in New York, so therefore we just took out, we basically hired a street of a little shopping center called Cedarhurst, which is not far away for him to drive, or for someone to drive him. Sure. And so there was an empty shop there. We would actually build a greater building society facade in this empty shop. And the premise for the campaign was that he was standing outside doing stand-up as people were just walking by shoppers and they couldn't care less, And that's the whole thing, So he would just do these gags from in front of that. And, of course, it was all phone a number or go to the local branch.
I love it.
The funny thing was that the second year that I went back out of the 3 years, of course, I've got him all over my website by that stage. The photographer, I said to the photographer, just go nuts. If I have to pay for it personally myself, I would, but I want 100 photos with me and Jerry, right? And it was easy to do because he'd say, my name's John Dwyer, but I would get JD. So he'd say, oh, JD, what do you mean by this in the script? And so we'd be sitting and talking and going back and forth. And by the way, when you're dealing with someone that big, he had two comedy writers standing within, 2 yards of him for the whole time. So he would throw to them and say, give me a line. They're in a different league, And so anyway, the thing was, in the second year, we're sitting down in his office and I said to him, Jerry, I've looked up online, you don't have a website. And he said, no. And I said, but can you imagine how many Seinfeld caps and T-shirts you could sell? And he said to me, do I look like I need to sell any caps or T-shirts? And I said, no, of course, we've got more money than God. I forgot. And he said, besides, why do I need one? He said, I've looked on your website. I'm on there more than you. I said, well, if the roles were reversed and I was a someone and you were a nobody, wouldn't you do it? He said, of course I would. Of course I would, yeah.
Well, that's when you say, how about I license with you? And
yeah. But look, Todd, you bring up a very good point. And I say this to people regularly, is that if you want to explode your brand quickly, if you really want to explode your brand quickly, then what you should do is consider licensing. Okay. And so, Kellogg's have been doing it forever. McDonald's have been doing it forever. Their incentives are normally license-based. So therefore it will be Disney or Warner Brothers. So it's going to be Batman or Jurassic Park or Mickey, Goofy, Pluto, right? And so I've been in that game for quite a time. And so when the movie would come out, like The Lion King or The Little Mermaid, we would take out the license for that. And not on behalf of another business, we just did it ourselves. And we would distribute the stickers or the books or the posters right throughout Kmart and so forth.
Sure.
And I say to people, look, I was borrowing the massive equity of Mickey Mouse and Goofy or Jurassic Park, whatever it may have been, and paying a lousy 10%. You give Disney 10% and they'll give you Mickey Mouse, okay? Why would you go and think up your own cartoon characters when that's been built up over 50 years and you're borrowing? Yeah. So in Seinfeld, We were borrowing the equity of Jerry Seinfeld, one of the biggest entertainers in the world, for what most people would have thought was a very modest investment. And Seinfeld didn't do it for the money. Of course, he doesn't need the money. He did it because he liked the idea of the sarcastic, you know, sort of campaign. Right. But the thing is that, you know, Disney, Warner Brothers, DreamWorks, all of those people have got these unbelievable characters out there that you can just use for 10%. It might be 12.5% these days, but nonetheless, it's still modest.
Right. Well, that's fun. And I think that a lot of people see that and feel like they need to be the creator of that, when in actual reality, you can leverage other people's influence. You can leverage other people's brands. You can also, don't be ashamed to be a copycat sometimes, because there's enough blue ocean out there for everyone to grab a piece that, as long as it's legal, you know, leverage it. Yeah. And I think there's, you know, there's obviously some protections around, but listen, I think that this conversation is fun, because growth and scaling can come in so many different shapes and sizes. And I think that what you're doing, I mean, you're not the one providing the vacations. You're just leveraging their ability to package that in the way that they do to benefit your other clients, right? Yeah. So there's a lot of strong business models and a lot of ways for companies out there who maybe are struggling to identify their thing. Borrow somebody else's sometimes. Yeah. It's okay.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on that?
Well, and when you and I say borrow the equity of what someone else has spent 50 years putting together, like a Disney, as long as you do it ethically. I mean, as long as, you know, exactly. You make sure that, you know, obviously when you're dealing with the likes of Disney, of course, they make sure that you do it ethically. So right. you can't have Mickey Mouse smoking, that's for sure. But yeah, as long as you do it ethically, and it just takes a lot of the hard work out of it. It really does. There's been so many companies that we've advised over the years that if they went down the path that they not, I mean, Anthony Robbins talks about break the mold. And so therefore, when he's on stage and he's doing his thing, he gets everybody to recognize that you've just got to break the norm, break the mold. And if your business model from a marketing perspective is the old world, you know, build the brand. So you've got your face on the side of a bus or the back of a taxi, or you're sponsoring the local football teams or whatever it may be. Then that's not breaking the mold. That's what everyone else is doing. Whereas if you bring into your marketing sphere direct response marketing, certainly not to tell you to stop branding. Of course, you continue doing branding.
100%.
You know, the problem solution marketing world is, the statistics that I've gathered are that 95% of businesses have never tried direct response. 95% of businesses. Amazon, for example, if you become a member of their Prime Club, then you will get free movies, free music, you get free special privileges like free shipping. McDonald's, buy a Happy Meal, you get a toy. Okay. Go down to the local cafe and there's a good chance that they'll give you a little reward card. And when you get 10 stamps, you get a free coffee. So even the local little cafe is doing it. But if you're not using direct response marketing, you're missing out on a massive amount of instant sales. And the five components, Todd, you would know them, of direct response is highlight their problem. Are you overweight? Number two, aggravate the problem. Do you know that summer's around the corner? Do you want to look good in a swimsuit? Number three, provide the solution. This is my weight loss program where you can lose weight. Number four, provide proof, which is normally testimonials, and that is a before and after photo. And then number five, a strong CTA, which is strong call to action. And that's where get a free vacation comes in. You know, it's basically problem solution marketing. And I see hardly anyone doing it. A problem solution
marketing. It's ridiculous, isn't it? And I even take those five and I add two more. What happens if you do? What happens if you don't? And that just kind of nails it home, that CTA. And I really appreciate you bringing that up, because I was just talking to a group of young entrepreneurs today about that storytelling methodology of marketing. Everybody wants to solve their pain. Everyone wants to solve their pain. And so direct response marketing is a huge value to the world. I would dare challenge my audience that if you have not tried a direct marketing solution, you really need to get in contact with John's group or someone like John who can guide you through the process. It's really not as hard as you think. And I love to ask people, if you all of a sudden got the max number of leads you thought you could take in a week, are you ready for that? And I think that your solution, John, of getting the leads to them, and then a solution like ours of being growth ready for that influx of leads, it's a beautiful thing that can take a company from, you know, in our case with that weight loss program, you know, from $10,000 a day to just under $1 million a day. Let's just say that was an incredible span of growth that we accomplished. It didn't cost us nearly as much as we thought. We leveraged other people's influence, and leveraging direct response marketing is a fantastic way to give people a taste of what you're doing with the reward of qualified leads who want it, who are interested in what you do.
It's funny, Todd, you just mentioned the word taste. I bring this up because it happened yesterday. I got the results. We had a chain of cafes. We've got 11 cafes around the east coast of Australia. And he's an Italian guy. So the proper cafes, a proper Italian coffee, you know. I'm a bit of a coffee snob. Right. And so therefore, I'm always going to look for the Italian. And he said, look, the problem is most people are only having one cup of coffee. And he said, back in my day in Sicily, then we'd have two or three cups of coffee because we're Italians. And I said, okay, well, why don't we do this? Why don't you get a whole bunch of new cups and saucers? And he went, are you an idiot? And I said, well, sometimes I've been an idiot. But he said, where are you heading? We've already got nice cups and saucers. I said, not the ones that I'm going to tell you to get. He said, well, on the bottom of the cup, when you finish drinking your coffee, there is a message. And the message says, go on, you know you want another cup. Simple as that, okay? He's gone right. In most of the coffee shops. He was doing around about $11,000 a week in coffee. Across the board on whatever number of coffee shops he's gone, that 11 has gone to 19,000.
Okay. Oh.
So therefore, that's $8,000 a week multiplied by 11 stores. Multiplied by 50 weeks. God knows how much that's, you know. And all it was, and by the way, it's not just the one little message at the bottom of the coffee cups. We've got different messages. But each of the messages basically say, go on, you finish this cup, you want another one. And guess what they do? They put their hand up to the waitress, I'll have another cup. Simple.
Simple, simple, simple. John, I love this conversation. I think you and I could probably chat for another hour easily, and we're not going to, at least recorded. But I appreciate you taking the time to explain your business and explain how this whole industry works, because it's something too little people know about, far too few people know about this and how it works. And I hope that people reach out to you. This is a very, very valuable service. And if it's not John, talk to somebody. But I think you've got a good program going on, right, John?
Well, thank you. And look, Todd, the benefit for anyone is that I know everything. So therefore, that's the benefit. Yeah. And I'm so modest.
Thank goodness. Yeah. Humility and knowledge are things that I was hoping you'd have coming in today. It's a fascinating thing though, John. And honestly, for those of you listening, if you have not ever taken a deep dive into what direct response marketing is, I want you to take the deep dive. I want you to look into John's got content all over the place. Look him up, what he's doing, how he's doing it, and reach out when you're ready to take a taste drive into this, because it is valuable to know if you turned on unlimited leads today, would you be ready for it? Yeah. It's a perfect congruency into what we offer with this podcast of being growth ready, understanding what it means to be growth ready. And thank you so much, John, for taking the time to walk us through this journey.
My pleasure, Todd. And look, if anyone wants to swipe any of these ideas and not pay me a penny, then they can do that as well, because we have a case study page on our website, which goes on and on and on and on. I'm sorry, but nonetheless, it's a swipe file if you want it.
I love it.
So, Todd, is it all right if I just give you the link if they want to swipe those ideas?
I will put it in our show notes and we will make sure it's up on the screen here.
Good, buddy. Well, it's just theinstituteofwow.com. So if you go to theinstituteofwow.com, you'll see there's a case studies menu tab. And all jokes aside, I mean, I just kept this. You won't find too many case studies in there that didn't work. I've only put the good ones
right
in.
So, let's hope not.
Yeah, we left the other ones on the floor.
Right.
But yeah, look, it wouldn't matter what industry you're in. Pretty much A to Z, you'll see there's a case study for pretty much all industries. If anyone's interested in the vacations thing, just go to vacationsincentive.com. So you'll see how that works. And as far as the leads thing is concerned with Facebook, then it's contestleadsmachine.com. And if you go to any one of those things, you don't need to throw money my way. You just even steal the idea and use it for your business.
Love it.
You know, if I go to a car mechanic, normally he fixes my car that day. If I tried to do it myself, it'd take a month and it would probably never start again. So you'll probably find there's a lot of benefit. Yeah, there's a lot of benefits in going to the expert, but if you wanted to swipe them and do it yourself, then yeah, do it with my blessing.
Well, thank you so much for that generosity. And I do appreciate you taking the time. And for the rest of you, we'll catch you on the next episode. Thanks so much, John.
My pleasure.
Hey, we hope you enjoyed that episode. As with all of our guests that we've enjoyed on this podcast, we hope you take a minute to reflect on how relevant was that to your growth journey? How relevant is that to your business? If you are not taking steps to grow and scale your business, chances are you're not growing or scaling. So how do you know if you're growth ready? Check it out at growthreadiness.com. If you haven't done so already, we have a free assessment at growthreadiness.com. That's right, growthreadiness.com. And measure up to see if you truly are growth ready. If that magical amount of funding or that magical client popped into your doorstep today, would you be ready? Could you grow and scale your business with what you've got ready right now? Chances are there are some places you're strong, there's some places you're weak. We let you explore that for free at growthreadiness.com. Click on the assessment at the top right, and we challenge everyone that listens to the podcast to go see how growth ready your business is from your perspective as an owner, founder, operations director, or even a sales manager. Is your company on a path to growth readiness? If it's not, reach out. Let us know what we can do to help. We have tons of resources, tons of free stuff, and some really, really high quality paid stuff that's going to help your company reach that level of growth that you hoped it could be on. Whether you're aiming for exit, whether you're aiming for a fundraise, or whether you're just trying to sustain the growth you've already had, go to growthreadiness.com and check out what you're doing and if it's working for you. Thanks for being a part of the Growth and Scaling podcast. We hope all these interviews are helping you determine the best path for your growth and giving you real-world examples of what you could be doing in your business today.